Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This morning we were reminded by our brother Milo that love is one thing that we needed to grow in. And then our brother Elliot reminded us that love was something that we needed to walk in. And here from the Word of God, love is something that God reminds the husband is that he ought to do. And not only that he ought to do it, but it's a command to do it. I've been much impressed in the past summer traveling around from camp to camp and having the opportunity of being at three different family camps to hear and to counsel with a great number of couples who were seeking help in their marriage. And I suppose that's why I've been impressed with having a group of people before me with the numbers we have here and thinking perhaps that God would use his word here to touch our own hearts and our own lives and give us some help in the way. Now, God's command is that the husband would love and that he would love in his marriage. Marriage has an entrance and marriage has a foundation. You know, when we read this verse, verse 31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Here we have the entrance into marriage, and sad to say, so many people today are entering in through the back door. In other words, there's the desire to become the one flesh without the leaving and the cleaving first. Now today in our country, we've got so many people coming up with marriage contracts that leave out really the leaving and the cleaving, and they're only interested in a physical relationship in a marriage, and when that wears off, maybe they're setting it for a few years, and then when that wears off, we're going to take up something else. But God in his word has given us this verse over five times, I believe, and the first was in Genesis 2:24, reminding us there that a man is to leave. Now, leaving isn't always easy. When it comes to our children getting married, we know that there's a sense of sorrow, perhaps in one way, that a parent feels at the child growing up to leave. In one way, it's a joy to see our children mature and come to that place where they can take up and establish a home on their own. And yet there is the sense of the parent, perhaps having a bit of sorrow to see the child step out totally alone, to leave the household and the nest that's been there. Then there's the child who shed many a tear sometimes when they turn and realize they're leaving home and they're going out on their own. Now, God says that's the first thing that a marriage is established on, is leaving. When a couple does not leave home, when they do not leave father and mother, and they take father and mother with them, they're not going out into the instruction of God to establish that home. And sad to say, so many problems come because of the in-laws, because there haven't been a total leaving. I'm sure in other countries where parents have set the dowry and set a price in over their daughter in lands where that custom might be, that sometimes it's been set so high that they have a hold on the marriage and the child in wanting to direct it in the home. Shouldn't be that way in our country. We say, well, in our country, our marriages are established on romance. Well, that is and is not true. Certainly, love has a part in it. And that love is something that needs to grow into the sense of the full love that we have here. And perhaps it starts with a romance and a fervency toward one another that should grow into something else. It should grow to the point that they're willing to leave and then cleave. Because when the leaving comes and they've totally left home and mother and father, which should be done, then there's the cleaving. See, if mom and dad haven't been left, then either child seems to want to hold on to mom and dad and have some dependency upon them. A good marriage is established when dependency on mother and father has ceased and their leaving and their cleaving becomes a cleaving to one another. And God has said in His order, there is to be a leaving. So many times I've met young couples and who have a problem. Maybe dad or mom want to come in and help. And sometimes their helping is in the strong sense of wanting to influence the marriage. And I knew a particular case of a young couple where dad walked in and his daughter had a bare floor in the living room. And so he decided that floor ought to be carpeted. So without any questioning even to what carpet husband might like or anything else, he went out and he got the carpet. He ordered a man come in and put it down, and it was in. And before long, husband and wife were doing this because of a kindness that dad wanted to show, but dad didn't have the realization that this was not his home. She was his daughter, but she left him to cleave to another. So dad and mom, I'll throw that out to you this afternoon. There's the sense here, we need to let our children go. There is, well, they're in our home, that they're to obey father and mother, and there is a command given to them to honor father and mother. While they're with us, they obey us. But when they go out and their own home is established, they never cease to honor us, but they do cease to obey us. And so it's wrong for us to go into their home and dictate the policy as to what that home ought to be. And then when they come to that place of leaving, then there ought to be the cleaving. And this cleaving is being in the sense of being brought together so that nothing stands between. There's the sense of the gluing together. And you know, if you were to take two sheets of paper and you glued them together, if you ever ripped them apart, then each part of each paper, there's part on each one. And that's what happens in a divorce or in a separation. There is never the two completely coming apart and the two individuals standing in the self that they were when that marriage was established. And so God in His Word knew what we needed, and so He said, cleave to one another. A wife is to cleave to her husband, and a husband is to cleave to his wife. And then God says, they two shall be one flesh. The one flesh is not to be brought until there has been the leaving and the cleaving and the one flesh established. Too many times today in the marriages that are going out, people are coming in the back door and coming in through the one flesh before that marriage was ever established on the proper grounds of the leaving and the cleaving. But now God's desire is and God's command is for the man, the husband, to love his wife even as he loves his own body. To love his wife even as he loves his own body. To love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, we might ask ourselves, how do you love like that? How do you love like the love that Christ gave toward the church when he purchased it with his own blood? Well, first of all, I'd like to suggest that we need to love realistically. You know, the world says today that love is blind. But love is not blind. The love that the Lord Jesus had toward us was not a blind love. Because the Lord Jesus saw me in my sin. He saw me in my nakedness. He saw me in my filth. And He willingly gave Himself for me. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it is a full recognition that He had toward me as to what I was that He willingly gave Himself for me. When He had a love toward Israel in Deuteronomy 7, He said, I didn't love you because you were great in number. You were the least of all people. But He said, I love you just because I love you. If you want a reason for love, then there's the reason for love, just because I love you. That's God's reason for love. And when it comes to the marriage, then, if we're to love realistically, we're to see each other exactly as we are, and then recognizing each other exactly as we are, to love in that condition and to uphold one another in that. So many times in premarital counseling, as a young couple come to be married and we counsel together, and I ask them, what do you see that are his shortcomings? What do you see about her that you can see is less than perfection? And at first there's a shock on their face and, oh, something imperfect about them? No, I love them. They're perfect. But it isn't too long when they stop and examine that each one of us have something that is wrong with us. We do not stand the perfect beings that while we're in love we think we are. It's kind of interesting to go to a couple that have been married for perhaps 6 months or a year and remember what the counseling session was like, and then go back and say, now, what are the shortcomings that he has? Well, so many times you can hear, well, he's kind of messy. He drops this here and that there and that along there. And there's a few other things he's done. You know what? One time I sat in on counseling on a couple that one of the things that the woman was very aggravated at her husband about was that he didn't squeeze the toothpaste tube just right. That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? That somebody would like to roll the end of the toothpaste up instead of grabbing the tube and squeezing it or what have you. Now, you know why it got to that condition? I went to the husband, and you know, I like to go to the husband first when there's counseling and marriage difficulties to find out how the husband loves, how he loves. And then I began to question about how he loved. And I found out with the misunderstandings that that man had when he entered into that marriage, he gave that woman exactly nothing. Zilch. Zero. All he did in his marriage was to take. He did not give. But the sense of the love of God and the love that God commands is a love that gives. It's a love that first of all recognizes what we are and then are able to uphold one another in the way that we are. Now, so many times when we find one another's shortcomings, we come in with criticism. And so I'd like to recommend, husband, praise your wife, stop the criticism, love her as Christ loved you, and you'll find your life will begin to change. Your wife will change. I remember a man not too long ago who said, you know, he said, I quit praying for my wife and my children in my marriage. He said, I began to pray for myself and say, Lord, make me a better husband to my wife. Lord, make me a better father to my children. And he said, it wasn't too long until I saw my own life change. And as my life changed, my wife and my husband and my wife and my children began to change toward me. And I began to realize that it wasn't my wife, it wasn't my children, it was me. And so I say to you, beloved, if we're willing to recognize, love realistically the way Christ loved. He saw us the way we were in our sin. And then He met that need in our sin. He came and He died for us just the way that we were. And then we need to love sacrificially. A sacrificial love is a love that gives of self. It is not a love that says, give me, give me, give me. It is a love that says, here, I will give of myself. I notice too many times in our marriages that we have the idea, husband, that our wife is a slave and that that's her position in subjection. And so that's where we want to keep her, down under our thumb someplace, so she does exactly what we say, even to our own satisfaction of our own will. Rather than to recognize that she is a being with emotion, with spirit, and that those emotions and those feelings need to be met, and that they will be met when I'm willing to give of self to meet them. God left us with a responsibility. He said, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, I'm amazed sometimes when I think of the love of the Lord Jesus. And I take that path from Gethsemane all the way to Calvary. And we walked that path one day a couple of years ago. And along it I marveled. I saw Him alone in the garden. I saw Him where three of the closest to Him, who saw Him in His glory, couldn't stand by with Him for 1 hour. That the weariness of the flesh was upon them and they slept. And He went on alone and prayed, taking a full view of Calvary. He knew every single thing that was there that He would have to bear. And He faced it willingly. As He prayed, I've often thought He prayed that prayer for me, that I could have an understanding of His heart, of knowing full well what He was to face, and hear Him say there, not my will, but thine be done. And then to take up that path and follow it through the betrayal of one who would betray Him with a kiss, to be taken as a robber, to be struck, to be blindfolded, to be mocked, to have the hairs plucked from His cheek, to be striped and beaten, and all along the way, I asked myself, why should you love me so? And then to go to Calvary's cross and let men nail Him, to nail the Creator of the world, the Creator of the universe who could speak, and that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, that He put Him there by the Word of His power, that He knew the very hairs of my head, not a thought of my mind escapes Him, that from the greatest to the least, He was aware of it all. And that He was willing to take the cross in the physical suffering, but more. He was willing to take the cross in the suffering for sin and the judgment that a heavenly Father would put upon His own Son for your sin and mine. And then I read that verse, husband, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. And I have to say, oh God, how many times I failed to love like that. I wish I could stand here today and say, I've always loved my wife in that manner. I wish I could say that. But you know, beloved, along the way, He teaches us the lessons. He gives us that example of His love. To love sacrificially. To love when it hurts. To love when it costs. To love when there's a price to pay. To love like He loved, in a sacrificial way. Love truly gives when it costs. Love gives when it costs. Love gives when it hurts. Love gives and is not selfish. And doesn't lift its own self up when it's given. How he wants us to love like that. But then he taught us that he wanted us to love purposefully. You know, Christ loved the church in a purposeful way. That it, when he viewed the church, he viewed it in the sense that he was going to purchase it. He was going to take it to himself, in that one day he was going to present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's God's ultimate design for the church. And we heard about it last night and again this morning, that we would be Christ-like. Then is when we're going to be conformed to the image of His Son totally. When we will have that Christ-likeness. He's going to present us to Himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Husband, have you backed off and taken a look at your wife? And you picked her apart. You saw the things that are beginning to provoke you and irk you. Have you ever stopped to think they're your own fault? Oh, I know you're going to say, hold the phone, Ray. Hold the phone, Ray. You're not going to blame me for my wife. If I take up this scripture and what I think God means by it, and I use the analogy of the husband and the wife, he's in as Christ the church. Then when a husband takes a wife, he also takes on the opportunity of bringing that wife to a spiritual mature place. And if he fails in it, then it is because he hasn't stood in the place that God has given him to love like God is love, and to teach even as Christ has taught. I've been brought home, that point's been brought home to me this summer as I sat with a man who just picked his wife apart from one end to the other, and she sat there with the tears just rolling down her cheeks. And then I asked him, what have you done? What have you done to correct the life that she's living? How have you shown her that there's a better path to walk? What example have you set in your own life? Look at the example that Christ has left for us. And Paul, as he followed Christ, could say, be followers of imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so if a husband took up that point, then in standing in the Christian home, in the place that God would give him to stand, he could stand as the one who would be the imitator of Christ and the one who would lead and guide and direct in that home. Oh, do you understand your mate? You know, if we're going to love purposefully, then we're going to have to understand our mate. Do you really understand her emotional needs? Do you understand her physical needs? Because they're both there in a marriage. And a woman's needs are not met many times as easy as a man's needs are. And so when it comes to a woman in her emotional need, I wonder how many of you forgot to say, honey, I love you. Those are simple words, aren't they? I love you. But you know, I find that Christians who might sit around the remembrance table of the Lord Jesus and come there week after week after week, and never stand to their feet to say to the Lord Jesus, I love you. And I find that many times they've forgotten how to say those words. Forgotten how to say them to their wife. I wonder if I was to ask you, I'm going to pin you down. Your wives are sitting next to you. Have you said to them today, honey, I love you? You say, ah, Ray, she knows I love. Well, we might say, what is love? And that's the care that you've given. In one sense, that's true. A woman has an emotional need. She needs to hear the words, as well as to feel the deeds and the kindnesses that are shown toward her. When it comes to Christ as our example, surely He gave us in His Word, all through the Old Testament, His message of love. But when it came to the New Testament, I see the deeds of love. And they need to both be there in the marriage, the message of love, along with the deeds of love. Do you love her? And tell her so. Have you forgotten about the nice things, hubby, that you did when you were courting her? And no more, are there any flowers? No more, is there ever a box of candy? No more, it's been a long time since you took her out to dinner. And you haven't ministered to her in those emotional things that are so little, you think, but so large. Do you understand what her home is to her? Do you understand that that house she lives in is an extension of her? Do you understand that what she's worked at to make a house a home is part of her? And what you do for or what you do against that home is for or against her. Have you ever considered some of the little things that she asks you to do that would make the job a little easier for you? And because you don't like to do them, sometimes, man, carrying out that garbage is really a chore. And it's something that irks. And yet sometimes when there's a lot of kids and things, and they're little and things are difficult, my, what an offering, what a way to say, I love you. In all the little things around that home. You know, sometimes men think they got every answer to the home. I read of one guy one time who thought he was a real decorator. And so he said when they got married, well, my wife and I have agreed that I'm the one with the taste and I'll do all the decoration in the home. And so he went to do all the decoration in the home. And then finally they got into an argument. And pretty soon that argument began to grow. It went into their marriage relationship and that began to break down. And so the whole marriage went on the rocks and he decided that he would go to a counselor. And so he went to a group therapy session. And so in that group therapy session everybody began to talk and so they begin to ask him, well, what's the matter with you? And he said, well, in our home, we've always agreed that I had the taste and I was the decorator. And so we had agreed that I was going to be the one to decorate the home. And now she just won't stand for it. This one bedroom, that's too much. She wants to decorate it her way. And so they begin to show the man that the home was the extension of the woman. That's her house, her domain. And she needed to be the one to say what she wanted in it. And so he finally began to see their point and he went home and he told his wife, okay, honey, you can go ahead and decorate that bedroom the way you'd like to. So they came back to the group therapy session and they said, well, how's things going? He said, oh boy, things are going wonderful. He said, my life's totally changed.
Now turn the tape over. The rest of this message is on the other side.
I would go to a counselor. And so he went to a group therapy session. And so in that group therapy session, everybody began to talk. And so they began to ask him, well, what's the matter with you? And he said, well, in our home, we've always agreed that I had the taste and I was the decorator. And so we had agreed that I was going to be the one to decorate the home. And now she just won't stand for it. This one bedroom, that's too much. She wants to decorate it her way. And so they begin to show the man that the home was the extension of the woman. That's her house, her domain. And she needed to be the one to say what she wanted in it. And so he finally began to see their point and he went home and he told his wife, okay, honey, you can go ahead and decorate that bedroom the way you'd like to. So they came back to the group therapy session and they said, well, how's things going? He said, oh boy, things are going wonderful. He said, my life's totally changed. He said, you know, since I took your advice and I went home and told her that, everything's different. And somebody said to him, by the way, what color was it you wanted to paint that bedroom? He said, red. You know, we need to love purposefully We need to have an understanding of our mate, and in our understanding to be able to help her along to accomplish that place of a total love. And then we need to love willingly. We need to love willingly. When I see the love of the Lord Jesus, it was a love unto death. It was even to the death of the cross. And His will there was so willing that it was totally subjected to the will of the Father. And He could say then, I'm not come to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Can you love your wife out of a will that will say, I will love? You know why I say that? Because so many people think that love supports the marriage. But love does not support the marriage. When a marriage begins, and it begins totally on a romantic type of love, that is soon going to be gone. And then it will only be as true love supports the marriage that the romantic love will grow. And the true love is to love in the way that we've been talking about, realistically. To love sacrificially. To love purposefully. To love willingly. To willingly show the love that does all the nice little things, that says I love you, that buys the flowers, that when she meets me at the door and she dumps the whole load of everything that went wrong during the day onto me at all at one time, that I can take that. That I can take it. And when she's all uptight about so many things, that I can sit and listen and quietly hear her out. And then to give her the things that will help. That when her emotions are running wild, I can purpose to love and do the nice things that bind that marriage together. You see, if it's only a romantic love, or only a love of passion, and we take that into the sexual realm, it isn't going to be long until the fervency and the passion of it is worn off. If there hasn't been a real love to support the marriage, then pretty soon that act in marriage of the one flesh and the sexual relationship is going to become a drudgery to her. It won't have in it what God intended for it. And as I find so many times today, the marriage has hit the bottom because of all the other areas of the life going wrong. And then that's the last one to go to the dumps, because the rest have gone. Can you love willingly? I will love. I will do those little things that I know she'd like. I will express my love in word and deed. I will strengthen her in her weakness. We heard about our power. Some husbands have said to me, Ray, where do I get the power to love like that? And our brother reminded us that last night of that power. And Milo gave us a further clue of it this morning. And the same verse that applies to our Christian life will apply to a joyous marriage. That is when we take the corn of wheat of self and let it fall to the ground and die. As long as self is going to have the predominant place in our marriage, we're in for trouble. But if we can set self aside and we can express love the way He loves, then we'll have a marriage that is a marriage that would honor God. And then I think that we need to love completely. Christ loved completely. He gave Himself. He gave all of Himself. He didn't keep any of Himself back. He gave all Himself. He gave His body. And He gave His spirit there at the cross. He died for me physically. In the body He took, and He became my substitute. And he took all the judgment of God in his spirit. He bore it all for me. He gave himself completely without holding back one single little whit. He gave himself completely. It was his blood flow that was poured forth that purchased the church. He says in Acts 20:28 that there God purchased the church. It was with his own blood. Now, beloved, if you're sitting today and you're pondering your marriage and there's no communication, none of the words of I love, no tenderness of deed, no sacrificial giving, your marriage is on the rocks, and in a short while the storms will wash it ashore. But if you're willing this morning to take a look, or this afternoon, to take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ and see Him as the example, Him as the one who could say, husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Husbands, love your wives as you love your own body. This morning when you got up, hubby, you looked in the mirror. You saw the whiskers. You saw the tousled head. You saw the sleep in your eyes. You did something about it, didn't you? You washed the sleep out of your eyes. You combed your hair and you cut your beard. Will you look into the mirror of God's Word as we have today? And see the need, and then apply it to the glory of God and to the good of your marriage.